voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Oh, Dr. Brown, what would I do without your weekly check-ins? How are you?
How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing just fine. We have some really great questions from our listeners this morning. You ready?
I'm ready.
So first of all, we're coming off the heels of Thanksgiving just 2 weeks ago. And, you know, we're very close, you know, to getting to Christmas and even New Year's. So I thought this was a great question from Mark. What are your recommendations, Dr. Brown, when it comes to holiday gatherings? So honestly, Thanksgiving, our numbers went up significantly. We don't know if it's specifically because of the holiday, but we do know, like, Omicron, it's because people were coming in and out of New York, for example, at least the ones that we have found so far. Our numbers ticked up even to 8% at one point this week. So the question is, what are your recommendations for Christmas?
So the first recommendation is get vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, please, please get vaccinated. It's starting to scare me, those who have not been vaccinated, because right now we're seeing about 90% of the people who are admitted to the hospital are unvaccinated. So that's the first thing.
And we're back up to over 500 people in state hospitals.
We are. Yep. We're even at our hospital, we're seeing close to about 15% now, up from about 5.
And you said the majority of them are unvaccinated?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And for no matter if it was the original version or if it was the UK version or the Delta version or the Omicron version, we are seeing bad outcomes from people who are unvaccinated.
Okay.
So if they get here, it actually takes, I mean, at the very, you know, again, we know sort of increased mortality. So we do know that people are dying from it. But it's also several weeks in the hospital. So it's not just sort of in and out. It's sort of a lot of intensive care with still, I mean, we have some treatment, but not a lot. So again, that would be my first recommendation. I have to throw that out there.
Yeah.
The rest is sort of tricky on being, you know, sort of, I think we need to be a little careful. I mean, this has not necessarily gone away. I think we need to be just a little more cautious about when we are together. You know, after our snow last night, the windows are closed, doors are closed. Close contacts are always a concern.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the first thing is if you are, you know, gathering, then if you have any symptoms whatsoever and you haven't been tested, then you really shouldn't be going out. And that's sort of been a big mistake that people have made. Well, I got, you know, seasonal flu. I have, you know, I just don't feel necessarily great. Don't go in public with that, because that's actually a good early sign of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the flu is kind of coming around too. So between the two of them, that's definitely one of those things. Whenever possible, social distancing is really important. And if you feel uncomfortable, wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. Do you recommend, Dr. Brown, people get tested before they go to like a holiday party or something?
I would tell you that I think testing is great, and we'd be in such a disarray if we didn't have testing now. But there are some false negatives associated with it.
Mm.
So that means you can even get tested, even the PCR, which is probably now the gold standard. The problem is that you can get false negatives. So we don't want to have people sort of in a false sense of security. I mean, it's good to get tested. That means, you know, we're testing to see if you're an asymptomatic or asymptomatic carrier. But ultimately, it could be falsely negative. If you have symptoms and you get tested, that increases the likelihood of it not being a false negative.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you need to be really careful about that. So again, I think, you know, I would say that just, you know, be careful. I mean, if you're with family, make sure that you're, you know, sort of know who you're with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing too, though, Dr. Brown, and this really comes from both personal experience and also what we've been seeing in the news. So for the two Omicron variant cases here in Connecticut so far, we know that both were fully vaccinated, which is part of my point here. And I had told you and our listeners that when we were at Thanksgiving, my in-laws are all vaccinated. I mean, one of them works in healthcare, and they all contracted COVID. Luckily, I don't know how, but we dodged that bullet. And
sure.
I think this is why we dodged the bullet. I would go back to the way things were in the beginning of the pandemic with the no shaking hands, no hugging. I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but I mean, if people are really nervous about it, because I know for me, again, everyone was vaccinated, yet COVID spread at that Thanksgiving sit down.
Right.
The only thing that we did do, because we just are very uncomfortable with hugging people in general, unless we're exposed to them all the time, is we're not really doing the hugging and the side, the cheek kissing, and even like shaking hands. It's more of the, hey, how's it going? And I don't know how you feel about that, but that if you're feeling uncomfortable, I would just go without doing the natural, hey, oh my God, how are you? I love you. Here's a million kisses and everything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting because we know that some of the early outbreaks, March of 20, we know that a lot of those were in those sort of settings.
Right.
Where there was a lot of that contact. Now, I would, not to be specific, I'm less concerned about handshaking, but I am very concerned about sort of that side kissing and hugging.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds terrible, but that's the close contact that you're having. If you don't have a mask on,
exactly,
that's how you're going to transmit it. So again, this is sort of my personal feeling. I don't want to, but this is sort of one of those things that, again, if you're going to prevent the spread, I actually had a mentor in the past. And she was great. She used to say that she would avoid, getting the flu. This was obviously before COVID. And the way she said that, she said, I wash my hand frequently, mm-hmm. and I'd stay 3 feet away from everybody.
Wow. So there you go. She knew beyond her years. It's true. You know what? It's true. I mean, so part of the reason I don't go near anyone is because I know I have a 3-year-old who goes to preschool and is sick all the time. The runny noses and everything. So I will feel badly if I get someone with toddler sickness is what I call it, because I don't know what the heck he's got all the time. So part of it is that, but part of it is also I can't afford, I talk for a living. I can't afford to have a runny nose and a sore throat. Like, I can't afford it for my own job. So I just don't go near anyone.
Yeah,
I need to be a jerk.
Sounds terrible, but it really does work. And I could tell you that from hospital experience, myself, who's an infectious disease doc, the other infectious disease doc, mm-hmm. my wife, who's a pulmonologist, who deals with a critical care patient, that all of them have actually done really well with not getting the infection
mm-hmm.
by wearing a mask. And we are high risk. We deal.
You're exposed.
That's sort of what mm-hmm. we do. I mean, of the people that are here, we see them on a regular basis, when they're their sickest. But again, wearing a mask, washing our hands, really is the most effective.
Yes. And practice your curtsy. That's the way that you greet people.
That's right.
So I want to ask Dr. Brown some more of your questions. Dr. Brown, we got a question from someone who has CLL, chronic lymphomic mm-hmm. Leukemia. I know I say that incorrectly, but CLL, and it's a type of blood cancer for people who don't know. Mm-hmm. And I thought, for other people who have things in their bloodstream, I thought it was a good question. How does the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, coexist in the body if you have a blood cancer or any kind of a blood disorder?
Sure. So it's a relatively complex answer, but I can probably simplify it a little bit. Things like CLL and other illnesses, they affect a certain cell line in the body. The cell line that cancer actually focuses on is actually sort of a chronic, hence the name, a chronic cancer that can be, treated. The response to the vaccine is sort of a little bit of a different cell. Is a different cell line. And so when we give the vaccine, it activates a different cell line than those that are actually activated by this CLL, which are really sort of a little bit less functioning of a cell. So I guess the best answer is there's a lot of complexity to our circulatory system and our hematologic system, so our blood flow and our how our blood is made. And because of all that complexity, that there are different mechanisms in which we can activate our immune system to still respond. So
that's
there's a
incredible.
Reason, Yeah, it really is. It's fascinating.
Like the human body, it just blows my mind. I mean, I really realized it after I got pregnant, but like first of all, you do a very good job of describing things that are incredibly hard to understand. But like, I understood everything you just said. That's amazing. So even though we have, you know, essentially one bloodstream, you're able to activate your immune system with the vaccine, despite the fact that you're struggling in another area of your bloodstream when it comes to like fighting off a cancer.
That's exactly right.
That's insane.
The biggest concern that we have is that people who actually are in active treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're in active treatment, in particular for a blood disorder, the treatment will eliminate certain cell lines and actually will eliminate all cell lines. So that's why we have potentially all the cell lines can be infected depending on which chemotherapy we're using. So if we're using a certain chemotherapy that makes us immunocompromised, usually what that means is that we are decreasing all of our immune system.
Mm.
So that's why we've talked about, you know, initially this was the group that was getting the third vaccine.
Right, right.
And then even potentially a fourth vaccine. Because when we give them therapy, like long duration high dose steroids, that decreases the entire immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we get a little bit more concerned about it. But again, we can still get a response. You just need more activation for it.
Okay. Wow, that makes sense. I had another question in regards to long haulers. This was something you and I, we talked a lot about this because I definitely think I was a long hauler after getting COVID. It took about 3 to 4 months before I really felt like I was kind of back to myself. I had these really big mood swings. My brain felt like when you're first pregnant and you can't remember anything. It was crazy. But everything that you had described as being a long hauler, Dr. Brown, I was experiencing it. And a lot of people in my age group mostly went through it. But wanted to get an update. You know, we knew that with the vaccine that was going to help with some of those symptoms. But, you know, now almost 2 years, it's crazy. We're coming up on 2 years.
It is crazy.
It's insane. You know, do we have any more clarity on long haulers or anything like that?
We really don't. There hasn't been a lot because of the other more sensational news that's out there. We really haven't seen a lot of more information about it. And again, I think it may be because the majority are now getting vaccinated. We do know that people who have been infected do feel much better after having the long hauler and then getting the vaccine, end up feeling much better. It makes sense that people would have this type of response later on. What happens with this virus is that what makes it so deadly is that the first part of it is actually the virologic phase. The virus is just imagine the virus is everywhere in the body and it causes a bad infection, just like the flu.
Okay.
The difference between the flu and coronavirus is that coronavirus goes into a second phase. Flu can, but not as much as the coronavirus. That second phase is that immunologic phase. So it does weird and wacky things to our non-cell line immune system.
Yeah.
I don't want to confuse it even more, but there's even more stuff that's out there
called
cytokines and other things. So what it does is it activates that, and that actually puts people into danger, into trouble. This is where we found the vaccine to be the most helpful, is it prevents people to go into the second phase, this immunologic phase. When it goes into the immunologic phase, it basically is activating the immune system in all intents and purposes. When you start activating the immune system, sort of in this unnatural way or by an external source like a virus, then it makes sense that you're going to potentially have symptoms that might last a little bit longer, because it's basically your body readjusting or resetting its immune system.
Wow.
So it's and again, a lot more complex than that, and there's a lot of different pieces that are there, but that's essentially where it is. So almost have like an autoimmune type illness for a period of time.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. So essentially, Dr. Brown, that's still alive and well. So long haulers is still a thing. That's
exactly right.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I would love to dive more into that as there's more, you know, information that becomes available about it. I mean, it seems like it's kind of still in the same place, but when it becomes available, would love to talk more about it for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Brown, always a pleasure. Thank you for taking all of our questions always, and we'll talk again next week.
My pleasure, Melissa.
Thank you. Again, that's Dr. Brown here on WICC.